Church, praise the Lord.
Pastor, in a line of what you're saying about drinks, you spoke something about a child of God having a visitor in his home and he was drinking whiskey. Like us, we have serious elder people at the village. Like, there was a land, let me use this thing as an illustration. There was a land belonging to my family. And nobody runs into that land. Nobody goes into that land. So that land looks like an evil land now. So we, the younger one, doesn't know what happens to that land. But the land belongs to us. And nobody goes into the land. So we have been going all around asking some people, what is the matter of us not going into that land? They said they don't know that we should go and look for an elder. Any elder man we go to say he doesn't know. Because it is not on his age. That land has been like that in his age. So we have to go very far to go and find out what is the matter of that land.
Yes.
So when we go too far, we saw a very aged old man. So we don't know what to give to this man. And this man needed a serious hot drink, like Jack Daniels, Hennessy, so that he will drink and feel okay before she can give us the secret of what we came for. So what my question now is it wrong for us?
Listen, even Jesus recognizes custom.
Okay.
You know, I'm talking to the single brothers and sisters.
Okay.
I have taught them.
Yes, sir.
That the teaching that say because you're a Christian, that you don't include in your list for your traditional marriage, you don't include alcohol and things like that, palm wine.
Yes. I want to ask about it as well.
Before you ask, make an answer. You.
Okay.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And I told them, that teaching is wrong. You don't create problem for yourself before the marriage even starts. If that is what their tradition requires,
yes,
for you to marry their daughter,
okay,
you will carry kind, ogogoro, whatever it is, and give them.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. For this one, thank you very much.
Give to Caesar
what belongs to Caesar.
Give to custom, to whom custom is due.
Thank you, sir.
It is scriptural. Now, but if you carry, give them, then they now say, you too, drink. Then you can say, I don't drink, I am a Christian.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
My question is answered.
Thank you. But what I spoke about is, you come visit me for my house. They say you be old man. Make I give you for my house. When I finish preaching for you, you give your life to Christ there that day. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Pastor, I just want to ask this question. You have been preaching and I normally watch you on the line. So I used to hear
you. Where? From where?
From Ajegunle. So I used to hear you saying about talking when you are talking about when you are preaching, you are talking. You always talk about brother William
Abraham.
Yes, sir. So, and I know in the Bible which I read, I never saw the name there as you know the apostles, the one of the apostles or
praise the Lord.
Hello. So I just want to.
Can I just ask you something?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe in the book of life?
Yes, sir.
Is your name in the book of life?
Yes, sir.
How do you know?
Because I hear the word of God and I accept it.
You heard the word of God?
Yes.
And you accept it?
Yes.
Therefore, you believe your name is there?
Yes, because it's
because there, all it's those whose names are written there, they will have certain process they will undergo. And you believe you have undergone that process. Therefore, you have fulfilled what that scripture requires. Isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are correct. Now, so also, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, for I will send Elijah the prophet. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. It said, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Listen to that very well. Read it again. Hallelujah. Amen. He shall, what will he do? He said, I will send Elijah the prophet. And what will he do? He will turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let me give you another scripture I am looking for here. I think it's Matthew chapter 11. I want to be very sure of the verse. Matthew chapter 11. It says, see, praise the Lord. It says, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by force. He said, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. This is Elijah, which was for to come. Who is that? John the Baptist. And Jesus is saying, the Elijah that they say will come, he is John the Baptist. Go to Matthew chapter 17 again. In Matthew chapter 17, in the Transfiguration, and verse 10, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then said the scribes that Elijah must first come? They were quoting the same Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then, verse 13, the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So who is that Elijah that is prophesied in Malachi chapter 4? Who is he? He said, it is John the Baptist. Now let me go further. Isaiah chapter 14. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the pathway, was a prophecy that Isaiah gave. Correct? Okay. Then from nowhere, John the Baptist came. And they asked him, John, let's open John chapter 1. Verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elijah? Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then said unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He quoted Isaiah 40 verse 3. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. If that man stood before you, not because it is written now, you are reading history, and said, I am the one fulfilling Isaiah 40 verse 3, will you believe? Answer me. Answer me now.
If him stand by me.
That is what he was doing now. Somebody from nowhere was baptizing people, and the Pharisees said, find out who is that man. Are you Christ? He said, no. Are you Elijah? He even said, no. Okay, who are you? Now we go talk. He pointed them to scripture. And he said, I am the voice of one. That scripture said, na me fulfill him. Will you have believed it? Can I give you another scripture? Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2 is a prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Praise the Lord. Go to Luke chapter 4. Verse 16, 17, 18. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. He now opened Isaiah 61, verse 1 and verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue, were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Will you believe it? If you were in that church that day. Eh?
I will believe.
Talk now.
I will believe.
You believe?
Yes.
It's easy for you to believe now. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon him. And then Jesus come and say, he is the one. Will you have believed it?
Yes.
The son of a carpenter.
I did not see him, but I believe.
Eh?
I did not see Jesus.
You did not see. What made you to believe?
I believe because he's in me.
Eh?
I believe because he's in me.
It's in you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you believe before he came into you, or you came into you before you believe him?
I believe when he came into me.
No, did he come into you before you believe, or you believe before he came into you?
It is when he came in. I didn't know when. I just, when I heard the word of God.
No, be sincere now.
Because
the Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost is given to them that believe.
Yes, I believe when he
came
into me.
So what made you to believe?
When he came into me, I believe.
No, you believe before he came into you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, Jesus said John the Baptist is Elijah. And he didn't even call Elijah, but he was just speaking. Then the disciples understood that that Elijah is talking of is John the Baptist. Now, therefore, it means it is not John. It's not the literal Elijah that shall come, but the anointing. So, it's very simple. The anointing that was on Elijah, study and see it. If you see that same anointing somewhere, then you can know that person is fulfilling that scripture. In this age, we studied and looked at all the preachers. That anointing in this age was on only one man, and it was on William Branham. God bless you.
Thanks, sir. One more question concerning the baptism.
Thank you.
Sir, I read Hebrew chapter 6, where it was talking about perfection. I don't know. Can you explain that very well for me?
When he spoke about perfection,
yeah.
In Hebrew chapter 6, it was
from
saying
verse
that
one.
It was saying that we should move away from this little doctrine and move into perfection.
Thank you.
And that we should not be dwelling on the doctrine of baptisms and the rest.
Yes, sir.
He's talking to people that are already established. And he's saying that every time they come, they'll be talking about baptism, they'll be talking about resurrection, they'll be talking about this. He said there are other things in the gospel to learn. Let's move on to perfection. Thank you.
So, sir, my question now is, those that outside here now, many of our brethren who are baptized in other churches, that not yet baptized in that name, but In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Title.
Yeah. And when they receive the word of God, because I believe that the word of God is now life in a man that grows, become the Son of God in you. So that word, they receive that word of God, and they begin to live the life of Christ in them. And they never hear this message. They never across this message now. This message of truth of
restoration.
Thank you. And then I've heard the word of God, and they live by that word of God, and that word of God begin to grow in them. They begin to establish the word of God in them. Now, are they not the part of Christ's family?
Excuse me. Do you know? I don't know your definition of the word of God. I hope you are not trying to look at self-righteousness as holiness.
No.
Thank you. Any righteousness that is outside of the truth of the word is self-righteousness. And let me tell you, there are Muslims that will not fornicate, commit adultery, lie. They pray 5 times a day. But Jesus stood before them and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Also, Jesus came to believers and looked at the church and looked at them. They have not been baptized. Yet, they are praying and casting out spirit and casting out devils. And then told them that now the Father seeketh such that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Because you can worship him in the flesh and in error.
Thank you.
And what do you use to judge whether you are in error or in truth? It's not the life that you live. Yes. It is the Bible.
Yes.
It's the Bible. God bless you. Yes, brother.
Praise the Lord. I want to be cleared in these scriptures. Even as we take our test today, from book of Matthew chapter 13 from verse 33. That this place, Matthew 3, in those days, 3 from verse 1 please. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, in the same book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, also said, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I got so somehow confused when John the Baptist preached about the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven he was telling the Jews that was at hand did not actually come to the hand. And he came, the gospel now came to him, our Lord Jesus, and he also preached the same kingdom of heaven being at hand. And so I want to understand this kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Are they the same? And which the kingdom of heaven that did not come at hand during the time of John the Baptist and didn't also come at hand even as our Lord Jesus was preaching? And now, by the grace of God, this gospel is also pointing us to the kingdom of heaven that is at hand. I want to be clear about that, sir.
There are two things you are mixing up here. Which question, or both questions? You want to know the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir. Number one.
And also, Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. John said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you are saying, when will it drop on the hand? Oh, how? I don't understand.
Yes, sir.
When will the kingdom drop for hand? It's still at the hand. Is that your worry?
Yes, sir.
When we read scripture, the things that bother me that I'm looking for is different from what people are looking for. Some people are looking for even grammar. Me, I'm looking for the thing that will make me a better Christian. Anytime I read my Bible, I'm waiting at the fine to know him more. But when he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's an idiomatic statement. That means it is near. That's what it means. And whether it is kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, it is the same thing. The same thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so after that, you kept hearing that he is coming soon. Eh? And he said he will come back again. I go to prepare a place and I will come. Until he was coming so soon, so soon, so soon, so soon. Until maybe they were not going to farm again, they were not doing anything again. Apostle Paul had to write them a letter in Second Thessalonians, is it? Chapter 2. And where he said that you don't be soon shaken in a word or a letter by us as concerning the coming of the Lord, that Christ will not come until certain things will happen. So, and then We also have, I preach a message entitled The Divine Agenda. And then it takes us down from the first church age, AD 57, the ministry of Apostle Paul, down to the book of Revelation 10, verse 7, where he says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery, one mystery of God should be finished, as he has revealed to his servant, the prophet. And the divine agenda goes on, and we were able to bring it down through the divine agenda that the angel gave Daniel in the book of Daniel chapter 9, and then gave him 70 weeks, and there are 70 weeks of years that he would do a program. And that program, that is what is producing us now. And very soon, it will be rounded up. Praise the Lord. So, he is coming soon. We calculated, and we almost know how many more years are left according to that divine agenda. So, the time is very, very short. The time is at hand. God bless you. Can we clap our hands for Jesus?